You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Of course, if you're anywhere awake on planet Earth, you know the Democratic National Convention is taking place in Denver. But if ceremony and pageantry of a convention isn't your political cup of tea, you can go to our Facebook page at thetakeaway.org, and we have a link. We have a new game for you. It's called Who Should I Vote For? And it lives up to its name. All you have to do is enter three qualities you'd like to see in your next president, and other Facebook users will tell you who you should vote for. Politics has never been so easy, and it's all about issues. There's a link on thetakeaway.org. But, of course, the Democrats have picked their candidate, and it's day three in the Democratic National Convention. The Takeaway is in Denver all week. The Hillary Clinton speech last night was possibly the most anticipated speech so far, certainly the most anticipated speech of yesterday. Hillary Clinton took to the podium. Her challenge was to unite the reluctant ones out there who supported Hillary with such passion and might be reluctant to go for Barack Obama. We go live to Denver now to Takeaway political director Andrea Bernstein. Andrea, you were there. Was there any ambiguity about her support last night for Barack Obama?
Well, going into the speech, there was certainly a lot of tension. There were supporters of Barack Obama who've seen some of her speeches before and who were anxious that she was going to take away with one hand what she gave with the other. And there was also the sense that there was really this heavy lift for her, that there were lots of delegates in that hall who had come there to vote for Hillary Clinton, and that she had to not only turn them around, but to really begin to turn the country around. And, you know, at the beginning of the speech, I mean, the scene was quite something.
Well, it was like a three movement symphony. It wasn't a circus up there. I mean, it was very much every
it was
beat
a symphony.
Was perfect. Yeah.
But I mean, in the hall, it was pandemonium. I mean, they were not letting, you know, about half an hour before the speech, they stopped letting people in or out of the hall. Everybody was there to see what was happening. It was packed. It was as if she were the nominee, and they started the evening out with this very dramatic video introduced by Chelsea Clinton. She was narrating it. It showed Hillary Clinton's life, and it also showed some highlight moments of her campaign, quite striking to see with Barack Obama, and people's eyes just began to mist over, and then they stood up, and they held these white placards that said Hillary, www.hillaryclinton.com. She still does need to retire her debt, which was part of the context of this speech. But she finally got to speak, and she stood up and she said right out of the gate, if you supported me, you have to support Barack Obama. This is not about personalities. It's about issues. And as you can hear in this clip, she says, if you believe in what I've been working for all these years, don't let me down by not voting or voting for John McCain.
I haven't spent the past 35 years in the trenches advocating for children, campaigning for universal health care, helping parents balance work and family, and fighting for women's rights here at home and around the world to see another Republican in the White House squander our promise of a country that really fulfills the hopes of our people.
Well, you really hear her echoing what Ted Kennedy said, in a very emotional moment on Monday, talking about how I will be there when Barack Obama is inaugurated. I mean, they're really assembling this team of Democrats, powerful Democrats, to really make changes in the United States.
That's right. And a convention is an argument, and we still have two more nights to go. The first night was to introduce Barack Obama biographically. Last night was to try to sort of lance the boil, if you will, of the Hillary Clinton delegation. And then tonight, of course, we're going to see Joe Biden, tomorrow Barack Obama himself.
Some guy named Bill is going to speak.
Some guy named Bill. I forgot about him.
Right.
Oh, how could I? Yeah. She really went at the people who were her supporters. She went directly to the arguments that the delegates have been making about, you know, I don't know what to do. And you can hear in this next clip, I mean, she just put it to them.
I want you to ask yourselves, were you in this campaign just for me? Or were you in it for that young Marine and others like him? Were you in it for that mom struggling with cancer while raising her kids? Were you in it for that young boy and his mom surviving on the minimum wage? Were you in it for all the people in this country who feel invisible?
You know, our colleague Ben Walker talked to some very, very, you know, irredentist Hillary Clinton supporters who felt as though...
Ben Calhoun.
who felt as though Hillary was being forced to do this by the media and sort of the big players. Did you get a sense that this was received very, very sincerely in the House?
I did get the sense that it was received sincerely in the House. And, you know, what was going on is all these moments are choreographed. So they have these white Hillary signs, and then out come the placards that look like the state banners that they have all throughout the convention hall, these vertical things that say Obama, Hillary, Unity. And people bring out these big plastic garbage bags, and they hand out the banners. But, I mean, people
Andrea, let me just ask a quick question on that. Did those come from the Obama folks? And where did the Hillary signs, the HillaryClinton.com signs, where did those come from?
Also from the Obama folks. I mean, this whole thing is choreographed by the Obama campaign, which we should remember, even though people were nervous. I mean, her speech was vetted. She wasn't allowed to just go out there and say whatever she wants. I mean, all of these things are very, very carefully controlled. Having said that, I mean, obviously, you know, she wrote it herself. She had brought in her team of speech writers. I had spoken a little earlier yesterday to Ann Lewis, one of her senior advisors, and she said, you know, some people just need to hear it from Hillary. And then she went right into the red meat. Some people were saying they didn't get enough of it on Monday night. So here she goes. She talks about John McCain. She talks about all his various deficiencies. And note how she's underlining his record on women's issues.
And in 2008, he still thinks it's okay when women don't earn equal pay for equal work. Now, with an agenda like that, it makes perfect sense that George Bush and John McCain will be together next week in the Twin Cities, because these days they're awfully hard to tell apart.
Well, it was interesting how she even went beyond that to really characterize the forces working against Barack Obama and her candidacy as something out of the civil rights movement evoking a legend from the past.
This was the emotional climax of the speech, and it's the place where she sort of knitted together her campaign with Obama's campaign. It was a real rhetorical flourish, and the crowd just got up on its feet, and there was more to come after this. There's probably three or four good minutes, but they were just standing there. They would not sit down because she sort of said, look, it's been a struggle for me. It's been a struggle for Obama. Our struggles are one. Listen to this.
On that path to freedom, Harriet Tubman had one piece of advice. If you hear the dogs, keep going. If you see the torches in the woods, keep going. If they're shouting after you, keep going. Don't ever stop. Keep going. If you want a taste of freedom, keep going.
So that's McCain and Bush with the torches in the woods with the dogs, right?
And they're already doing it. I mean, the McCain people are not letting up during this convention, including running an ad, which I just saw on Denver TV this morning, a swing state in which they are basically trying to say that Barack Obama has disrespected Hillary Clinton, which is something coming from the Republicans. I mean, they've never loved Hillary Clinton as much as they do now.
Well, you know, one thing on Fox last night, they spent like a whole hour trying to link Barack Obama with a so-called radical from Chicago. So, I mean, this is really out in force, it seems to me.
Oh, yeah, there'll be a lot more of it. And that's what Clinton seemed to be saying,
right,
that, you know, the next 11 or so weeks are not going to be easy. You really need to get out there and work. And that's what these conventions are for. It's a gathering of some 4,000 party activists plus all their guests, to get them fired up and to go out and work, particularly in these areas like Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, which they're going for, and to register voters and to do the things that they need to do.
All right, well, quickly before we go, Andrea, I hate to interrupt you, but Bill Clinton's going to speak tonight. Can he wreck this whole thing now? Can he erase all the games?
Oh, John, you're such a pessimist.
Come on.
Andrea, go ahead.
Somebody's
answer the question.
Well, you know, I know people are already talking about Bill Clinton going off script, but like I said, these things don't get on stage without getting vetted. He's a pretty good convention speaker. I expect a good speech tonight.
All right, Andrea Bernstein, the Takeaways political director, live in Denver. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And as we said, she'll be watching as the rest of the nation, or much of the nation,
I thought you said that no news ever comes out of these conventions.
Obviously,
if Bill Clinton stood up there and said something that was way out of step, that would be big news.
That would be news.
Therefore, would sort of bust your premise.
That would be news. We'll see if that happens.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.